Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy, wishing all of you a beautiful and blessed Christmas and upcoming New Year. I also want to share with you today, we have a very interesting program. I think you'll be, I don't think we ever think about this problem, although I remember years ago when I was working, I worked with a girl who had donated her eggs for money, and I remember talking to her about it, saying that, do you realize, you know, she every argument I gave her, she tried to shoot down. And finally I said, do you realize that by donating all of these eggs that you could be having your son and your daughter marry each other one day? And this is a very, what shall I say, a very interesting guest today who speaks on these kinds of things, on donors that give sperm to reproduce a child, and some of the devastating consequences of these things we'll be talking about. And I don't know that anybody did a program on it. However, I think it's going to be a fascinating program, and I'm going to be talking to a young man, pretty young guy, very savvy with the world, and it's all the things that take place in our world today. And his name is Christopher White. He happens to be the world director of operations for World Youth Alliance. And so I look forward to talking with him. He'll be calling in a few minutes, and we will, talk to him then. And I have a lot of questions in my mind, and perhaps you have some questions in your mind. And I'm going to give out our telephone numbers. The number is 610-527-2609. 610-527-2609 or you can certainly call in long distance. Maybe you're listening over the internet today, or this program will touch some questions that you might have. And then again, of course, the teaching on this in the church, we consider it immoral. The bishops have spoken about it. It's addressed in the catechism. And so I thought it might be very interesting and enlightening for all of us to take a good hard look at this and understand why the church's teaching on this is so clear about using these artificial techniques and technology, that there's consequences with it. So once again, 610-527-2906, or you can dial toll-free 1-888-343-2484. 1-888-343-2484. I'd like to remind everybody once again, we're having trouble always this time of the year, through no fault of our own, but because of a frequency problem with the United States and Canada. We have to yield to their programming in Canada because it's like a first come, first served, and because their station is so much older than ours, and anybody on that band, it's really why we can't, why we have to turn our power down from 5,000 to 500. But remember, if you also have a computer, then all you have to do is go in, click on www.inhissign.com, and perhaps you will be able to, join us listening to the program over the internet. And when you do that, of course, there's no static. It's a clear message. And you'll actually be able to feel like you're sitting right here in the studio with us. So once again, www.inhissign.com or 1-888-343-2484 or locally 610-527-2906. Today, of course, is the feast of the Holy Innocents. All the little men, all the little boy babies that were slaughtered, and we have to remember that all those holy innocents, this is the feast, as I say, of the Holy Innocent. They're little martyrs, and we shall never forget them. But on the other hand, we have to remember, too, that there is a slaughter going on right in our own time, in our own day, through abortion. And I find it today that our guest, of course, that was set up so a while ago, sort of coincides with all the subject matter of today, because even these anonymous donors that give sperm to people who decide to go that route, maybe for one reason or another, they can't have children, maybe one or both are sterile, all the many different reasons, which are heart-aching reasons, and they suffer greatly. However, there are ways that are very acceptable, like adoption. What a beautiful choice for a life. And but however, this is not an option, because it is intrinsically immoral. So I want to bring that up, that I've, here today as our guest, and we have no idea when we plan when these people are available. And once again, on this Feast of the Holy Innocents, these little children are holy innocents too. But let me share with you the gospel today while we're waiting for Christopher to call in. The first reading, which speaks to all, this is the message that we have heard from Jesus Christ and proclaim to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we continue to walk in darkness, we lie and do not act in truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrongdoing. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for all of our sins. And not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. That's a very strong reading from God's Word that sort of shakes us, you know, shakes the church to say, if we walk in the light, there is no darkness in us. But if we're walking in the dark, there's no light in us. And if we have sinned, we do have one, the High Priest Jesus Christ, and we should go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation to receive those healing words that we are pardoned for our sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and to go and sin no more and receive Christ's own healing love, healing balm through that sacrament. In the Gospel today, when the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose, took the child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Jesus realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, when Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. "A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be consoled, since they were no more." You know, this story, even though we're so, 2,000 years plus removed from the story, it's hard to even read it when you know that all these little, beautiful little holy innocents, all these beautiful children created in God's likeness and in his image, that all of them were slaughtered, just wiped off the face of the earth. And as I said today, we have our own slaughter of holy innocents, and it's called abortion. And again, it's not pleasant, it's uncomfortable for people to talk about, but unless we begin to talk about it, unless we begin to come out of the dark and bring it all into the light to dispel the darkness, then people innocently, who really don't understand abortion at all, they begin to think there's nothing they can do about it. They don't agree with it, but so be it. They don't want to take away somebody else's rights. Well, the bottom line is, the gospel is very clear that these holy innocents were slaughtered trying to find the true Christ, trying to estimate how old he would be at that time. And sure enough, for each one of us, we have to begin to realize that you and I, the Lord Father God said he called his son. He called his son out of Egypt. We have to call all those out of the darkness into the light so that they can be informed. That even though they don't agree with abortion, we have to be able to share the truth. Share the absolute truth and the horror that is committed. Not just in one time in Bethlehem. Not just one time in the world. But abortion is committed day in and day out. Millions of babies are being killed all the time. A life, an innocent life, is being literally slaughtered. Children that are conceived in the likeness and image of God, just as much as the holy innocents that were slaughtered trying to find the Christ, the anointed one. And how, you know, can we really wrap our mind around it? I love my children, each and every one of them. You love your children, each and every one of them. Could you imagine? Can you imagine the devastation of somebody coming into our homes, our own homes, and dragging one of our children or several of our children out of the house and slaughtering them, just killing them, shooting them or whatever, for any reason at all? There's no justifiable reason. That's what happened. Rachel was mourning and could not be consoled because her children were no more. Israel's children were no more in Ramah. Well, with us, our children are no more. Those holy little innocents created in the likeness and image of our God are being slaughtered today for no justifiable reason. You cannot justify murder, whether it took place 2,000 years ago or it takes place today. Thousands and thousands of babies being killed every minute. You know, I remember Mother Teresa, or Blessed Teresa, I guess she's saint now. Sorry. And I remember her making a statement when she talked in our country, and she said, "How can God bless a country who kills its children?" My brothers and sisters, how can God bless this country when we are killing our brothers and sisters, our children? You know, I was praying with a young woman the other day. Well, it was about 3 weeks ago now. A beautiful young woman. And she had found out that her mother had had an abortion when she was right around her age, actually. And she became so angry and bitter. And she said, "What if she would have aborted me? What if it was my life that was snuffed out? I'm an only child. I don't have a sister. I'll never know the love of an older brother or a sister." Because that life was just taken away. That life was never allowed to be born into existence. And she was angry, and she was bitter. said, I always hated being an only child, but I didn't have to be, because I would have had a sibling, but because of circumstances that her mother felt she was in, she had an abortion instead. And I told this young woman, and I really believe that it's a healing thing to share with our parents, our loved ones, our relatives, our friends, when we are deeply wounded. I tell my own children this. If anything ever hurts you, or if I've offended you, or your brothers or sisters in any way, shape, or form have wounded your heart or hurt your feelings, or in your vulnerability made you feel like you were less than who you are, then really I ask you to bring it to them or bring it to me. Bring it into the light so that the darkness will be taken away. The darkness will be dispersed because of bringing it into the light. And so I asked her, I said, you know, she was going to leave her home. And that's actually why she looked me up. Somebody gave her my phone number. She was going to run away. Not just run away, she was older than that. She was 17 years old. And she was going to go live with someone else who said they would take her in, because she had such emotional turmoil over this. And she said that maybe she would have been aborted too if it wasn't for the fact that she was so far along. And I said, well, you're presupposing your mother's circumstances. You're even judging her love. And I think that what I would tell you to do, and this is after praying about it, I said, don't leave your home. Don't leave the mother who does love you. She's cared for you for 17 years. She's taken excellent care of you. She's been to all of your soccer games. You live in a nice home. She's provided great clothing for you, great benefits to your life. You're involved in a lot of different things. I would tell you, please don't walk away from your mother. This anger, because you just found out about this, is raw. It's raw within you. And don't make a decision when you're in a serious decision, when you're in such turmoil, emotional turmoil. And so we prayed, and after we prayed, I asked her to write a letter to her mother. I asked that, and her mother was, you know, married. She was not married to her father, but she was married. And she said that her stepfather, she overheard arguing with the girl's mother when she, that's how she found out. And it was about this abortion episode that he never knew it. And so what happened was this young girl overheard all this in the midst of an argument. You know how arguments are. One word is said, leads to another word. Next thing you know, you're arguing, fighting over areas that you might never have brought up if you weren't angry or resentful or bitter. And so this young girl is hearing all this. And when she asked her mother about it, she just made a comment in the midst of all of that upheaval. And it was very hurtful to the girl. So that's why she was going to leave. So I told her to write her mother a letter. And in the letter, to talk about everything she was feeling. The feeling of, how could you do this? A feeling of, you know, Mommy, tell me what you were feeling. Did you feel trapped? Did you feel that there was no other alternative? What made you, did someone force you into it? What made you make that decision? Help me understand. And then also, while you're sharing that, tell her how you feel that, you know, 17 years, you never had a brother or sister, and, you know, that is a little brother or sister that you would have had, and you feel deprived. And I told her to share all that with her mother, because in essence, when you bring something out of the darkness into the light, you strip it of all its power. You strip it of all its power. Light dispels darkness. If you have a pitch dark room, and in that pitch dark room, you light a match, you'll be able to see. You'll have some clarity. Not a lot, but some. And I told her that while she writes this letter and shares her deepest wounds of her heart from learning this and all the struggle she felt about it, then she's lighting that match for her mother to bring clarity, to bring light into the darkness. And so she did. Now, I don't know exactly how this all turned out. I only know that she called me and told me that she wanted me to know that she wrote this letter, and that instead of putting it somewhere in the house, she was going to mail it to her mother. And that was like about 3 weeks ago. Now, I haven't heard from the young girl since. As I said, 17-year-old, a young woman. And I don't know how it all worked out, but I do know that we have to be children of the light. We have to be willing to expose darkness by bringing light into it. I mean, even the fact in the church, it was God who shed his light into that darkness. It was his light coming into that darkness, dispelling the evil that was there through those cases of wounded children, holy innocents, little holy innocents that was robbed and taken from these priests. Now, these priests, we know, probably when they walked down the aisle and they went into their vocation, hopefully they never would have ever conceived of doing what they had done. But they fell, they opened themselves up to darkness. So much so that darkness consumed them. They were no longer walking in the light. They were no longer children of the light. They no longer were true to the vows that they took. They were no longer living out the teaching magisterium of the church. They were no longer a sign pointing to Jesus. And what did the Lord do? He was the one that shed his light into that darkness and dispelled it. Because until that happens, there can be no healing. Now our church, our archdiocese, can begin to heal. Because Christ in his infinite love and his mercy for all of us brought his light to dispel the darkness. You are listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy. I just received a note that our guest is not there, that the number he's supposed to be reached at. That's why I was sharing what came to my mind after I read the gospel. However, we will reschedule, because once again, I thought it was a very important subject matter that all of us should know about, and it's a growing industry. I might add that the article said there was between 30,000 and 60,000 children are born each year through that sperm donation. But even at that, it's pretty much an educated guess, because nobody has to, there's no regulations, nobody, a donor doesn't have to register. And those clinics that take the sperm donation and the egg donation, there's very, very little records, so you don't know. A brother and sister could marry and wouldn't even know that they were actually siblings. I remember one gentleman in the article I read, one gentleman alone had biologically fathered 150 children. 150 children. Now, those 150 children could all be in the same state. They could be in the same town. But the bottom line is, how horrific of a thing is that when, you know, a girl, brother and sister could fall in love with each other and get married? And, you know, how would that affect their own offspring and so forth and so on? These consequences of that are really mind-boggling when you see all the different ways that it affects everybody else's life. But I wanted to bring this to you because I think it's a very interesting subject matter, and because, you know, about 8 years ago, I met that young woman. Actually, it was a woman that I was training when I was a corporate trainer, and while I was training, she would leave at a certain time each day and say she was going over to the hospital, and I innocently had said to her, you know, to the clinic. And I innocently said to her, you know, are you ill? Is there something I can do for you or some way I can help? And she said, oh, no, I sell my eggs at this clinic. And I said, yes. And then she described to me what takes place. You're in and out in a, you know, a very short period of time. And I remember then saying, you know, that I couldn't believe that she couldn't see that there was consequences of that. And finally, what the one thing that actually stopped her from doing it was when I said to her, you could be, you know, you could be actually giving life to a son and a daughter, and one day they might wind up marrying each other. They wouldn't even know they were related. And that's what actually stopped her from doing it. She said she really started to think about that, and she never gave it a second thought. It was a way for her to get money. They pay so much an egg, and from the woman's egg, and that's what she decided to do. So there's so many things in the world today with all this technology that we have that can be used for good for sure, but it also is used for evil in many different ways. Of course, you can say, Kathleen, you know, you've had, you know, 12 children, you've had 2 miscarriages, you know, the joy of motherhood and the sorrow of losing children. But to never have a child and want a child so bad, I don't downplay that. My heart goes out to, and I pray constantly when I know someone is, you know, praying about becoming pregnant and they want to have a child. There is a terrible heartache there, and I understand that. All I'm saying is there are ways. You know, God's ways are not our ways. But for every child that is put up for adoption, it takes a great act of love, a tremendous act of love, to put a child up for adoption. The mother or the parents going through the turmoil to make that decision, it is a turmoil, and it is a horrific decision that parents have to make sometimes, a mother, a father, and how much that child must be loved to be willing to give them up for adoption. And when I think about the children that have been given up for adoption rather than aborted and the courage that took, then I can only see the love for that child that the mother had. And giving it life and then giving it a better life for one of many, many different reasons. So I understand that heartache. And yet, there are so many women who cannot have children, or men who cannot father a child. And they ache to hold that little baby in their arms. They ache to love that child, to caress that child, to watch over it and protect it and watch it grow as their own child, child of their heart. You know, there was a poem I read once, and I thought it was beautiful, and it said that a child that was born right under the heart, that was an adopted, it was a prayer for an adopted child, that you were born right under my heart, just like a child is conceived in the womb under the heart. And this mother wrote a poem about how much she loved her child and couldn't love it more if it was flesh of her flesh and bone of her bone. And I think of God's ways for all those people that were willing to sacrifice in many ways to give that child up, to have life, and to know that God would watch over that child and protect it some way. All those children, there's some parent out there waiting to hold those children in their arms, to hold that child, to love that child, to watch that child grow into all that God called the child to be. So we have, when people cannot have children, there are other ways that are very acceptable. And it's an answer to a prayer on both sides of the coin there, for the person, the mother that gave that child up, and for the mother that longed to hold a child in her arms that would be her own child. I just want to praise and thank God that being a child of the light, I consider myself blessed to be able to share with others out of my heart always when it comes to adoption, to look to the mother that was willing to give life to that child. It took great courage in this day and age, even as well, when it would be so much easier to stay in the dark and to abort a child. But to give that child life, to give that child life, and then knowing that there was a mother and a father out there that would love and care for this child, and that this child would grow into the person that God had always created the child to be. So that's one of the reasons that, I thought this program would be easy, would be interesting today to share a whole different kind of an aspect. When I read that story, also again, it was about a young girl whose parents decided to get divorced. And the one, she had a sibling that was a sister that was adopted. And when they went to get divorced, the father wanted to fight for visitation rights only for one of his daughters, the one that was adopted, not the one that was that his wife actually carried, because it was by a donor. And so there's on all the things in the dark that we do, even though we try to justify them, even though they have a good purpose, the end result never justifies evil, ever. And that's why today I thought it would be really good to go into that program. We will call him. We will reschedule him. I really don't know what happened. He's just a handsome young man, and as I said, his name is Christopher White, and he is the Director of Operations for World Youth Alliance Headquarters, and hopefully we will be able to reschedule him. Who can, suffering is redemptive. Suffering is redemptive for all the ways that each one of us can suffer and have suffered. What's more painful than seeing a child suffer? Harrod indeed massacred all those children. And they all laid down their life for one person, when you think, you know. And they did not, it seemed certainly, what shall I say, no rhyme or reason could justify it. They were slaughtered, totally slaughtered. And nobody could make it right, because her children were no more. That's why I said, think of somebody coming into our house. Think of our government coming into our home, that they could tell us that they were coming into our home to take our children away from us for one reason or another. They come into our home, they take our children out, and they kill them. They slaughter them. Can you imagine? Can you wrap your mind around that? That's how it was. That's how it was when they killed all these little boys. They went in and slaughtered all those little holy innocent children under 2 years old. Why? Out of fear, darkness. Out of fear of losing power for this anointed one who had come into the world. You know, we all have, every single one of us, have to remember the scriptures that God works together everything for those who love God. And when we love and when we trust the Lord, that, again, He will work it together for a greater good, because He knows that we love Him. There is suffering. You can't have Christ in our lives. I mean, one thing that the world hates is the cross. The world hates the cross under any circumstance. The world thinks it brings pain. It brings suffering. But my brothers and sisters, you and I have suffered in many different ways and many different times. Those that we know and love have suffered. But when we offer that suffering or persecution or betrayal, when we offer those sufferings that we all go through at one time or another in our lives, or maybe family members have gone through it, we felt helpless. When we offer that up to the Lord, when we offer that suffering up for the Lord, then He gives us the grace to carry the cross. I remember reading another poem. Obviously I love poetry, and there was another poem, and it said that that God, it was a prayer, and it said that before God sends a cross down to each and every one of us, that He weighs it and measures it, so that it is not 1 ounce too heavy for us, nor 1 inch too long, but that it will have exactly the right amount of grace for us to carry it. When we embrace the cross, we're filled with a grace that goes beyond all understanding. It's God's redeeming love that flows into us, not something of our own, not a power of our own. Nothing that the world can give us will really take away suffering. It can ease pain temporarily. But the only thing that redeems our suffering is Christ. Whether it's a disease, illness, pain, trauma, maybe we've been abused, we've had poverty, maybe there's great injustices that have been done to us. Maybe people have ripped us down by their words rather than build us up. We all suffer in many ways. But we have to remember that when we offer that suffering up And particularly as Catholics, we know this to be true and we believe it. No suffering is wasted. No suffering is wasted. If you're suffering right now, with, you know, regardless of whatever kind of suffering that you're going through, whether it's a broken relationship, whether you've lost a job, whether you're in the midst of making a decision and you're so confused you don't know which way to go, maybe you're suffering with a disease or a life-threatening illness. Maybe you suffer with an out-of-order addiction. Maybe it's sexual in nature. Maybe it's eating too much. Maybe it's anorexia. All the different ways that people suffer. We all suffer. That's our cross. But what we do with that cross, what you and I do with that cross, enables us to either walk in the light or fall in the darkness. I share with you on several occasions. One time, I guess I was complaining about something. And I remember my son walking through the room at the time, and he said, "Hey, Mommy, you always tell us, pick up the cross, don't drag it around." And then I thought, yep, I gotta put into practice what I preach. And I told him he was absolutely right. You and I, when we embrace the cross, we're filled with the undescribable kind of peace that only Christ can give. It's something that we can't give to ourselves, and no other human being on earth could give it to us. They can love us. They can accept us. They can try to comfort us. They can stand with us. But the only person that can heal our hearts and comfort our souls is Jesus. That little baby Jesus who grew into a man that surrendered his life on a cross for you and for me. That heart that was pierced with the lance, the heart that bled for you and I, we're healed by his suffering. Forever and always, that redeeming act, the redemption that Christ gave us from the cross, wasn't just for the day he laid down his life on that cross. It was now, forever and always. And so wherever we're at in our walk of life, no matter what we've ever done, whether it was an abortion, whether it was some heinous crime, no matter what it is, there's nothing that can save, nothing at all that can save us and bring us the peace that the world cannot rob us of, except for Jesus, Son of the Living God. He blesses us so that we can bless others. He is the true promise keeper, and we can trust in his words, trust in his love, that what he says is true. When we are wounded, he will heal us. By his stripes, we are healed. When we are broken, it is only he, the master, creator, who can put us back together again. That's our God. And that's why the gates of hell tried to come against him and snuff out his life. That's why Herod sent his armies to find this little savior. But you can't kill love. You cannot kill love. Jesus was nailed to the cross and died. But because of his love, he went to the cross for you and I. Because of his love for us, he rose again on the third day. So that wherever he is, you and I will be. That is that magnificent kind of love. The love that nobody can earn. Nobody can make it. No one else can give it. Except the Savior of the world. We have an awesome God who has loved us even though we're unlovable, who has been faithful to us even when we are unfaithful, who is constantly consistent even in the midst of our own inconsistencies. And when he says that I will be with you always and forever, we can count on that. As the word of God is true and eternal. We're going to be closing with prayer in a few minutes. And when I close with prayer, I'm praying from my heart for all of you. And I pray that you will pray for me and all those on your heart and your mind and all those in our listening audience. There are so many who are literally fighting diseases and illnesses, so many that have suffered tremendous emotional woundedness, physical woundedness, abandonment, abuse, all kinds of traumas, all kinds of betrayal. And when we love as Christ loves, we don't judge others. We try to love them as Jesus loves us. And that is my prayer for all of us. My prayer for myself, Lord, that I might not judge, but that I might love in your name. So this Advent, this Christmas, I pray that on these days of Christmas that are remaining, that maybe we can make a difference, even if it's for one life, one child's life that we could save by sharing the truth that when we take a life, under any circumstance, when we take a life, there can never be ever justifiable reason. God knows the mind and heart of each and every one, and he alone will judge each and every heart, mind, and spirit. We're called to love even the unlovable. And we're called to pray for those who are still in darkness, that they might be brought into God's glorious light. As we close now in prayer, I would ask you in these last few days of the Christmas season to offer your pain, your suffering, let it be redemptive for all the holy innocents that will be slaughtered through abortion. Our heartaches, our sufferings, our trials, our tribulations, these are the ways when we offer God those trials, those tribulations, those heartaches, the disappointments in our lives, the suffering, the poverty, the fears and anxieties. When we take them and we offer them up to the Lord, we say, Lord God, hear I offer all this up. If you would redeem this suffering for the life of the holy innocents that are taken in abortion. Father, I offer you my pain so that their lives would be free of pain. For all those, Lord Jesus, today who have had an abortion or been some way complicit, either forcing someone or thinking it's the best decision, whatever reason. Lord, I ask that you speak to their hearts today, that you fill them with light. And for all those who haven't gone to confession and have that sin in the deepest part of their being, Lord God, set them free. Draw them back into your infinite love and mercy, that they might know that once they repent, they are forgiven. For all those who are suffering in mind, in body, or spirit, I ask, Lord, that you would breathe your breath upon them, renewing them and refreshing them, especially caregivers at this time. Give them grace and strength and hope for the journey. Lord, for all those who have lost a loved one at this time, let your comfort, let your word be healing balm to their heart, mind, and spirit. Remember, if you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you. God bless you.